Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord. It's good to be able to come back into your house once again, wherever that you may be, and just lifting up the name of Jesus, just to trying to tell somebody the good news about the Lord. So we're on. This is Evangelist Lloyd and Betty Yearwood, reaching the world for Christ. We're on Blog Talk Radio. If you'd like to call in, be a part of it, well, call in on 310-742-1759. That's 310-742-1759. And we'll put you right in here with us and reaching the world for Christ. And want to worship the Lord in spirit and truth. And I see that we've got a call in, 770. Come in there and tell us who you are and where you're at.
Good Lord, this is Brother John from Thompson, Georgia, calling in.
Amen. Appreciate you, Brother John. Glad you called in. Well, I'll have a song right now, then we'll get you right on there and let you obey God.
Okay.
We got the Branham family going to sang a song there for us, so that's Ronnie Branham. They're great singers and a great minister, so they sang, well, just worship the Lord with them.
Healing.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Hey, Ted, that's Branham family singing to us. So we just we really enjoy that group. And Brother Ronnie's a great minister also. So if you want to get in touch with them, why, you contact me and I'll give you their phone number there and put you right in touch with them. And they'll be glad to come to each church and just sing and preach and just worship the Lord. So if you want to be a part of this service today, call in on 310-742-1759. So we'll put you right on here with us. So, Brother John, go ahead and obey the Lord.
Appreciate it, Brother Lloyd. Appreciate the opportunity once again to bring the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to the world. And just it's a humbling experience to come and be able to just speak my Lord's word. Amen. And we just thank you for the opportunity. Tonight we're speaking about working the works. Amen. And if you have your Bibles, and I pray that you do, turn with me to John chapter 9. John chapter 9, beginning with verse 1. Story of a blind man, and the Bible says there in verse 1, and as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. Tonight, church, we need to know that Jesus is passing by this way.
Amen.
No matter what circumstances or situation we're in, the Lord Jesus Christ is passing by your way tonight. The Bible says that he saw a man who was blind from his birth. This man had never seen. His eyes had never been opened from the time that
Amen.
He was born. He had not seen the revelation that many of us had an opportunity to see. Amen. But Jesus was coming into his life. There are many tonight that have been blinded. Amen. The Bible says if this gospel is hid to them that are lost, for they are blinded by the God of this world. Tonight, church, we have an opportunity. Amen. For to let the Lord Jesus Christ work the works in our life, to accomplish the works of the Father in our lives. And not only do we have the opportunity tonight to receive it, but they are part of that work. Amen. Amen. Because we must work while it's day, for night cometh when no man can work. Darkness comes, death comes. Amen. Life is brief. And so we need to know tonight that the Bible says, and as his disciples there, verse 2, ask him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Amen. It just seemed like there was a lack of love there. Immediately they come by. Somehow, some way, they had a knowledge, had an understanding. This man had been blind since his birth. But they had
Amen.
Began to question. Amen. They began to question why this man was, who did sin? Did his parents sin that he was born blind, or did he sin that he was born blind? But Jesus had an answer for them tonight. You need to know tonight, church, that Jesus has an answer for you, whatever you have need of. In fact, the Bible says that he knows what you have need of tonight before you even ask. And Jesus answered them in verse 3, and he said, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. Here is a blind man, and this is what God does. Hallelujah, tonight. The works of God, the deeds of God, the accomplishment of God was going to be made manifest, revealed in this blind man. I don't care where you're at tonight or what situation or circumstance tonight, the works of God, the accomplishment of God. He said, he who has begun a good work in you shall perform it to the day of his coming, the day of the Lord. It doesn't make any difference where you're at tonight, what country you live in, what your financial circumstances. The Lord Jesus Christ is passing by, and he wants to work a work in your day, because your day is his day. This is the day that the Lord hath made. We need to know tonight that no matter what your situation or circumstance, is tonight, you need to know that the works of God can be revealed through you and in you and to you tonight.
Amen.
The Bible tells us, amen, amen, in Romans chapter 2. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 2, verse 6. The Bible says, who shall render to every man according to his deeds? In other words, according to his works, to them who by patience continueth in well-doing. Church, tonight we need to be patiently continuing in well-doing. The Bible says, be not weary in well-doing, for thou shalt reap, but thou faint not in due season. Seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. Tonight we need to seek for that. These are all works, amen, of the Lord. We need to seek for his glory. We need to seek for the honor of the Lord. We need to seek the immortality and the eternal life than unto them that are contentious. In other words, those that are going against and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first and also of the Gentile. In other words, if we start walking in unrighteousness, if we start walking in disobedience, indignation, wrath, tribulation, and anguish will be our reward tonight. But you need to know that it doesn't make any difference whether it's you or Gentile, but to those who are obedient, the Bible says in verse 10, but glory and honor and peace. These are the works of the God the Father. He wants to reveal in you, to you, and through you, to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. For there is no respect of persons with God. For as many as have sinned without law shall also perish without law. In other words, if you sin without the law of God in your life, you're still going to die without the law. And as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law of God, the word of God. Amen. If we sin
Amen.
Within the law, within the realm of God's law, then we will be judged by that same law. For not hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. It's not, you're not justified to hear the word of God tonight. You're justified by doing the works of the word of God. In other words, tonight, if it's coming there, we can sit here at our bench and do nothing and do nothing. But the Bible says we're not only, when we hear the word tonight, it's to bring forth works within us. We are to move and be doers of the word and not hearers only. And the Bible said, verse 14, for when the Gentiles which have not the law do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law to themselves. These Gentile believers who didn't have the law of God at this time, amen, begin to become a law within themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts. In other words, there was a work in their hearts, amen, and it came, amen, written in their hearts by the law, amen, it came, and even though they had received the law, the written law, but it was written in their hearts. He'll give you a new heart. Amen. He'll give you a new spirit tonight. And the Bible says, we show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel, in other words, good news. Behold, thou art called a Jew, and restest in the law, and makest thy boast of God, and know his will, and the privilege of things that are more excellent, being instructed out of the law, and art come that thou thyself art a guide of the blind. How many of you know tonight that Jesus Christ is the guide of the blind? A light of them which are in darkness. He's an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of faith, which has the form of knowledge, and of the truth of the law. Jesus Christ is our guide. When we couldn't see tonight, here was a man, amen, amen. Let's go back to John. Here was a man that was born blind from his birth. But immediately the disciples who were following Jesus Christ just assumed that his parents did sin or he did sin. But that, neither was the case. The case was that the works of God was getting ready to be made manifest. You might be going through some things tonight, but you need to know one thing, amen. It's just the works of God being made revealed in you and to you. Verse 4, he said, I must work the works of him that sent me. The Bible said, as the Father sent me, so send I you. When should the works be done? When should the works be accomplished? While it's day, while it's light. The night cometh when no man can work. Darkness comes when the man stumbles. Life ends when no work or no knowledge in the grave. But he said, when no man can work. But he said, amen, hallelujah. He said, as long as I am, verse 5, he said, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. You need to know tonight that as long as Jesus Christ is in the world, that the light of the world forever shines. It doesn't make a difference in the midst of darkness, in the midst of the midnight hour. There's still
Amen.
Light in the world. The Bible says in John chapter 1,
Amen. And verse 4 says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And it doesn't make any difference what hour it is, but it's daytime hour. It's the daytime hour when Jesus Christ is in your life. And the Bible says in verse 5, and the light shines in darkness. I'm talking about light tonight. I'm talking about words tonight that will brighten up the darkest hour and gross darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. You need to know tonight that if you're sitting in darkness, if you're following the prince of darkness, if you're following the rulers of darkness, you can't comprehend the light that I'm speaking about tonight. But if you just allow yourself for the works of the Lord, because he said, I must work the word. If you allow the Lord Jesus Christ to accomplish within you this works, amen, of the Father, amen, you'll begin to comprehend. You'll begin to see a light. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. You need to know tonight, church, that everyone underneath the sound of my voice, to be a witness, even the blind man, even the deaf man, even though wherever you're going through, you can be a witness to the light, because he's working your works. What a step, because night cometh when no man can work, but as long as he's here in the world, he is the light of the world. The Bible says he was not that light, talking about John in John chapter 1, verse 8. He was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of the light. Church, you've been sent to bear witness as the Father has sent the Son to bear witness of his works. The Son has sent each and every one of us to bear witness of the light that all men through him might believe. Amen. Verse 9, that was the true light which lighted every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made him. Made by him, but the world knew him not. The world didn't comprehend the light. But you need to know today, you need to have some comprehension. This blind man, amen, was going to get ready to have some comprehension about what was going on. This man was blind and could not see, but he was getting ready to see the light of the world. He was getting ready to see the light of the world. The Bible says in 1 Peter, amen, chapter 1, verse 17, the Bible said, and if you call on the Father, who without respect to a person judges according to every man's work, according to every man's work, hallelujah, pass the time of your soul journey, keep in fear, for as much as you know that you are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition.
Amen.
From your father. You need to know tonight that nothing that your earthly father has given to you, not the silver, not the gold, not the tradition, that didn't redeem you tonight. You're redeemed by something that's more precious. The Bible says in verse 19, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, that was manifest. Manifest. Remember what it said over there in John? Made to appear, revealed in these last times for you. Amen. This is the last time, and there's a revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a revelation of the light being. I don't care what, I know some of you are listening to us right now. It's in the middle of the night, but you need to know that the light is shining wherever you're at tonight. You need to know that there's a works going all over the world, and Jesus must work this works. Amen. Until, because what a stay while he's here and giving you the light, because night comes, death comes, amen, darkness. Comprehension is not no longer there while you're sitting in darkness and gross darkness tonight. But I'm talking about the works, amen, that will work you and in you. For verily it was foreordained before the foundation, but was made manifest in these last times for you. You need to know this gospel tonight is for you. This light tonight is for you, amen, that you won't stumble in darkness. Who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. You need to know tonight, amen. You need to know tonight, hallelujah, that your open faith needs to be in God by his works. He's coming in there, and the Bible said in verse 6, he said, when he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle. And he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. He made that, he put clay, amen, and spittle and put it in and anointed, amen, the eyes of the blind man. The Bible said in Jeremiah chapter 18, hallelujah, starting with verse 1. He said, the word that came into your mouth of my eyes when the Lord said, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. You need to know tonight, amen, that God is telling this. Those of you underneath the sound of my, rise and go to the potter's house. Rise and there when you go to the potter's house. Amen. Because the potter has power over the clay. You need to know tonight that every one of us, church, is clay in the potter's hands tonight. And if you'll go to the potter's house, that's where you'll hear the words of the potter. See, you got to get close to the potter to hear the potter's word. You got to go down to the potter's house to hear the potter's word. The potter's abiding in the potter's house. Amen. You need to know tonight the words of the Father is passing down to the Father's house. You have to abide in the Father's house to hear what the Father's words, to his works. He said, then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. You need to know tonight that there's a work on the wheels tonight. There's a work on the potter's wheel tonight. Amen. This blind man who was born with birth, he was on the potter's wheel here in John chapter 9. And the potter spit in this clay, this mud, and made clay and anointed his eyes. And the Bible says in verse 4, and the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter? Can I not make you another vessel? Can I not make you all over again? You need to know tonight, I don't care where you've been marred. I don't care what's in your life. Tonight, you're on the wheel. And there's the works that the Lord Jesus Christ, amen, and the light is on that clay and on that wheel. And he's reworking and he's making a new vessel. All over again. He didn't throw the clay away, but he took out and made it all over again. Even that was marred in sin. You might have been marred. There might have been something in your life. There might have been darkness. There might even been sin in your life. I can tell you tonight that the Lord Jesus Christ, his works, even if this man had sin, even if his father or mother had sin, the Lord Jesus Christ, by his abundant mercy and grace, would have still healed him and made him whole tonight. He, no matter what you go through, no matter what you've done tonight, I'm talking about a light that will bring you out of darkness. I'm talking about a light of compassion that will bring you from wherever you're at into this marvelous light. He will translate you from the kingdom of Satan, amen, into his marvelous light. He said, O house of Israel, can I not do with you? As this potter said, the Lord, the whole as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand tonight, O house of Israel. Tonight, church, you're in the hand of the potter. And the potter has power over the clay. And the Bible said, and he said unto him in verse 7, ending up, and he said unto him, go wash. Church, you need to know today it's wash day. He said, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way, therefore, and washed and came seeing. Hallelujah. Why? Because he obeyed the word of God. He obeyed the word of God. Bible says in John chapter 12, verse 32, Jesus speaking. Bible teaches us, amen, that as the serpent was lifted up in the wilderness, so shall the Son of Man be lifted up. Verse 32, he says, and if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. In other words, when he comes up on the cross, when he's lifted up on the cross of Calvary, when he's lifted up there, he'll be the light of the world. He'll be like the light that the city is set upon a hill. Tonight, you need to know that you look at that light. Look at that light because, amen, he took on the sins of the world on that cross. This, he said, signifying what death he should die. That was his works. He said, I must work the works of him that sent me. The works was for him to die for you, that you might live for him. The works was that he might give you his light. The works was that you might be a witness of the light. The works was that this blind man, once he would see, not only would he see, but he'd be a disciple. He would be a follower of the light, and he would receive the light. He'd be witness of that light. Not only because of seeing with the natural eyes, but because he had a revelation, he would be seen by the Spirit of God. And then the Bible says, the people answered him and said, we have heard our law that Christ will abide forever. In other words, lives forever. How sayest thou the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? In other words, you're saying that you're going to be lifted up on the cross and die. But the Word of God says that Christ shall abide forever. The anointed one shall abide forever. Then Jesus said unto them, Yet in a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light. This is a prophetic word to those of you who don't need to sound my voice. Yet in a little while, the light's with you tonight, church. You don't know when the opportunity, when the light's going to not be here no longer.
Amen.
Walk while you have the light. Walk with him. Walk in the light while you have the light. Lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he go. Tonight, church, if you're walking in darkness, you're not walking in the light with Jesus Christ. If you're not walking in the light of this world, you're walking in darkness and you don't know where you're going. While you
Amen.
Have the light, church, believe in the light, that you may be the children of light. These things spake Jesus in the part and did hide himself from them. Church tonight, ending up, will you be a witness of that light? Will you receive the light? Those of you that are walking in darkness, will you comprehend? Will you allow, because see, there's a point in time. While you have the light, walk in the light. While you have Jesus, an opportunity, your opportunity is right now. Call into the host, email the host, let him know that you've received the light. Not only receive the light, walk in the light, live in the light for the rest of your life until the light comes to receive you again. Amen and amen. Go ahead, brother.
Amen. Appreciate that wonderful word of God there and that great ministry. We've got someone else called in here, 423. Go ahead and come in there and tell us who you are and where you're at.
Hey, Brother Ewood. It's Brother Petty, Sweetwater. Just calling to let you know I'm listening. Or like what you're doing. May the
Amen.
Lord bless you for it, because maybe somebody be blessed, touched, uplifted, or maybe saved. And that's what it's all about. That's the bottom line. Greatest miracle ever was to see somebody saved.
Amen.
And I enjoy listening to the ones that calls in, and God bless every one of them. And I met one of them last Wednesday night and really enjoyed fellowshipping with him, Brother Green.
Amen.
So I'll just sit back and listen a little while if you got somebody else on there.
Okay, we appreciate you there, Brother. 937, go ahead and come in there and tell us who you are and where you're at.
Yeah, this is Brother Green here in Ohio. We was trying to listen to some of the broadcasts there, sounding good. I
Amen.
Tell you, it is a short time to work, and we need to work while it is day, and we need to put our hand to the plow, not look back. We need to keep our
Amen.
Eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ and press toward the mark of the high calling. And see, we could grow weary, but we can't afford to do that because time's running out. We got neighbors that's not saved, and we got people all around us that are unsaved. And I don't know where you're at tonight, but out there, but I know you got people around you that need to be saved, and it's time to work, it's time to study, to show ourselves approved, and it's time to get the wisdom of God that we might be able to lead souls to Christ, because the harvest is plenteous, but the labors are few.
Amen.
And I'll turn it back to you, Brother Yearwood. It's good to be with you.
Amen. Glad you called in there. I was going to say, anybody wants to call in, be a part of this, call in on 310-742-1759 and be a part of this service. We'd be glad to have you to call in on 310-742-1759. And you call in, we'll make you part of this service, put you right on here live with us. We're going to be in Kokomo, Indiana on the 23rd of March, then the 27th of March on that Wednesday, we're going to be in at Harvest Tabernacle in Chillicothe, Ohio. Where Brother Mike Vallette is the pastor. We'll be there at 7 o'clock. So we'd like to invite each and every one of you up there around Chillicothe, Ohio, to be over there with us on that Wednesday night. We're just looking forward for a great move of God and a great time. We've been up there different times, and we've had great revivals, and we're only going to be there one time this time. So I want you to come over and be with us. And now I've got a few verses here I'd like to read. Thank God, Brother John. Okay, we got a 405 call in. Come in there and tell us who you are and where you're at.
Brother Yearwood, this is Franklin Bennett, Missionary Franklin Bennett. I'm in Georgia, but the 405 is an Oklahoma number.
Okay.
I'm in Nahana.
Amen. Well, go ahead and tell us about the mission work there, brother. We want to hear about it.
Well, you know me, and I know you. So you know I've been to India twice, and we have 40 or a little over about 42 ordained ministers over there, and we have an orphanage that we're working with, and we got street missions going. My wife is working the outpost there, and it's just India has really opened up. There's people there that are really wanting to hear the gospel. I've got so many invitations now that on my return trip, it'll take a long time to go to all those invitations. The gospel is going into India now like it once used to do in other countries. The north part of India is still mostly Hindus and Muslims, and there's a lot of persecution for Christians there. They're under a caste system there. I would call that a racist system, the caste system. What that means is if you are born in a high-class family, middle-class family, and we have poverty-class families, you know, like in America, there, if you are in the poverty class, like many are here in this country, you are treated like slaves.
Amen.
But these people are coming to God, Brother Yearwood. When they hear of especially of a missionary from a foreign country coming in there, they just flock to the services there. The gospel is wide open there, and I'm ready to go back.
Amen.
God.
Well, praise the Lord.
We got to work. We got to do this while we got time. Brother.
Amen. We're speaking on we took our text tonight from St. John 9:4. I must work the work of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. Go ahead there, brother, and just obey the Lord on them few scriptures there. Just whatever God gives you.
Okay. Well, it's just like this. I hear people talking all the time. If God tells me to go, I would go. If God tells me to go here, I would go there. But I want to tell you, Brother Yearwood, the Lord has already gave us the command.
Amen.
His word has already said to go into the world and preach this gospel. He don't have to speak to us out of a tree or out of the sky or in a private place or nothing. If he never tells anyone ever again to go into the world and preach the gospel, he has already spoken those words.
Yes.
And I tell people constantly, all the time, that if it's already written in the Word of God, then God does not have to speak about it again.
Amen.
And chances are he probably will not speak about it again. If the Lord has told us to give to the needy, we don't have to be going down the road and hear God speak to us to give to someone. His Word has already spoken. So if
Amen.
We have in our hands something that we can do for someone else, and it's not going to, I mean, listen, there's a place where we have to use wisdom in our giving and things like that. There's sometimes we may have some money, But it doesn't necessarily mean that we have money that we can give.
Amen.
So, in the way I feel about it is to get out there wherever you are. And I'm praying for people, all of my Facebook friends, I'm praying over them that they can't sleep at night, that their food don't taste good, that everything goes wrong with them until they get out and start winning souls. People need
Amen.
To get out and start winning souls. I hope they can't sleep at night. I hope the people that are listening to this broadcast right now can't go to sleep tonight. And I hope their food tastes bad. And I hope everything that they do makes them miserable until they start witnessing and sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with the people out there that does not serve God. We got to get busy while we got time. What are we going to say to Jesus, Brother Yearwood, when we stand in front of him and we say to Jesus, I would have went over there, but I would have went over here and done that, but I would have done this, but we would be a goat. Goats are the only one that butts.
Amen.
I don't want to be no goat, Brother Yearwood. I don't want to be a goat. I want to be a sheep. I want to go wherever the Lord has said to go. And he's already written in his word for us to go into all the world, not just into our churches. If we're just going to church on Sunday mornings and Sunday nights and Wednesday nights, and that's all of our experiences of God is, then we haven't even begun to touch the rim of what God intended for us to do. And so he intends for us to bring healing to people and deliver us. And how can we do that unless we have that fire inside of us, unless we have this obedience in us to go do what God wants us to go do? Why would God give a man the power to heal when he won't go out into the streets and the highways and the byways and deliver the power to the deliverance to people? Why would he give the power of God to a man for him to sit in his little four walls and him compel people to come to them? That's not right. The Lord didn't say for us to go somewhere and get in the church building somewhere and wait on them people to come to us, brother. He told us to go out there to them.
Yes,
man. That's what I would have to say that the commandment of God is. And there's probably many people right now that's going to be in the lake of fire, and probably many in the lake of fire that are simply there. Simply, the simple reason why is because they did not share the gospel of Jesus Christ. This
Amen.
Is the command. You don't have to be a preacher. He's never nowhere in there does it say preachers go preach the gospel to the whole world. It tells us it's a duty for everyone that comes into the saving grace of Jesus. Everyone who gets born again, it's their obligation to share that experience because it says so. We are supposed
Amen.
To confess with our mouth. We're supposed
yes.
to, and not only that, we overcome the beast, we overcome the world, we overcome the sins, we overcome everything that's in the world by our testimony and the blood of Jesus Christ. If we're not testifying, we have no testimony.
Amen. Praise
well,
the Lord.
That's my thoughts. I think that we need to have a testimony, and we need to have it with fire. Without the fire, I tell people all the time, if you're born in the fire, you just can't live in the smoke.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Anyway, I'm on fire for God. Everywhere I go, people think about me like I'm some kind of a nut or something, but people don't know what God's brought me through. God delivered me from a lot of great disasters, and he
yeah.
helped me, and he took me right on in there to India, and he brought me into places over there, and I've seen so many things that God can do if you will just step out there and do for God. Like the lady that had the issue of blood, Brother Yearwood, for all those years.
Yes.
Spent all the money that she had. It was forbidden for her because in the Old Testament, if a woman has an issue of blood, she's considered polluted or unclean. So
yes.
in those days, they couldn't touch people. Anybody who touched her would be considered as unclean. So for her to get through that crowd and to get to Jesus, she had to break a lot of the laws of the day. And sometimes we have to break the laws of the day to touch the hem of the garment of Jesus Christ. And
man,
I tell people, whatever you have to do, if you have to break the traditions of religion to touch the hem of the garment, why aren't we doing it? We need to be breaking every rule, every idea, everything that is holding us back. We should, every person that says you can't do that, we should be ignoring every bit of that and running the hem of that garment for our healing and our deliverance and our salvation and anything that we have a need of from God. We have to go in there with all the obstacles against us, or else we're going to get cheated out of it. If that lady, listen, if she had allowed that crowd to, if she had allowed that crowd to hinder her from going anywhere or doing anything, she would not have been healed. If she had allowed the law that she could not touch people, how many people did she touch pressing through that crowd to get to Jesus? We don't know. But we know that the crowd phoned him, it said. But
yeah,
whenever that lady touched the hem of his garment, Jesus knew immediately that faith had touched him. And see, that's the way it is in the Holy Ghost right now. If we have faith, the Holy Ghost is right there. We can touch the hem of the garment through the power of the Holy Ghost. Many people don't get that, and they don't understand that. But whenever that fellow broke his leg over there in India, and I grabbed his leg and was shaking that man, the bone was stuck out that leg, and I was shaking that leg, hollering, "No broke bones in the name of Jesus, no broke bones in the name of Jesus." That man's leg came back together. God healed him, and the hole closed up, and he danced all over the church on Sunday morning. And the pastor, there was 40 witnesses that seen this take place. God is a mighty God.
Yes,
he
is.
He can do anything, but will we step out there? Will we go while we have time to go? Will we do it while we've got the time to do it? When Jesus comes, will he find faith on this earth?
Amen.
I wonder about that.
Amen.
I really wonder about that.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
I don't know if that's down in the text of what you're talking about or if that's going to help anybody out there, but I throwed it out there. It don't cost nothing. It's free of charge. I praise
Amen,
God for it. I got it for free, Brother Yearwood.
Amen.
I got
God.
My healing in my body for free. I got my salvation for free. I got deliverance from all the things that I was bound through for free. It didn't cost me nothing. The only thing
Amen.
I had to do was believe.
Right.
I tell people that they can be saved in a moment, the moment that they believe. You can be healed in a moment, the moment that you believe. Your neighbors can be healed in a moment, the moment that you believe. They can be saved the moment you believe. The whole matter of everything that's going on, everything that's on the earth is actually in our powers and in our hands. It's just up to us to step out on faith and do what God said for us to do.
Amen. It's all done by faith.
That's exactly right. Faith. That's the only thing that'll move God, Brother Yearwood.
It's impossible to please him without faith.
Yes, sir, I found out that you can holler and scream and yell, and you can roll in the floor, you can jump up and down on the bed, you can cut yourself, you can do whatever you want to do. That's not going to get the Lord's attention.
No.
Faith. Just a little bit of faith, really just leaning into the eyes of God with your eyes just a little bit. If you can just see that the stripes on his back, you should be healed because of the stripes on his back. If
Amen.
You have a disease or a sickness right now, we should be saying, "By his stripes I am healed. By his stripes I am set free. By the nails in his hand, I no longer have any sin in my life. By the blood that was shed on that cross, I am free from all the dominations of the things in this world. I'm free from the world, not just sin and not
Amen.
Just Satan, but free from the attachments of the world. I can live now as if I am dead, so when death comes, it won't mean a thing to me because I'm already dead. Hallelujah to this world. I live in
Amen.
Another element. I live in a different realm. I live in a realm that is spirit. So I don't worry about death because death will not touch the spirit. Glory to God. Isn't that great?
Amen. It sure is.
I about preach for a second here, brother.
Amen.
I don't know what you feel on that end, but on this end over here, I feel that burning fire of the spirit moving up and down my soul. And what I'm saying, I know is the truth. God is a big God. And
amen.
He loves all of us, and he cherishes us so much. And he desires so much to hold us. But our mind is so much on our desires for the world and things in the world, we can't even see him holding his hand out, wanting to hold us. We just need to let him hug us. Let the Lord hug us and love us. We'd have a great life if we do that.
Right.
Get our mind off this world and get our mind on that world. People want to go to Disneyland, but I want to go to Gloryland.
Amen. I do too, brother. I don't have no desire to go to Disney.
Me neither.
But I do have a desire to make heaven my home.
Yeah, where I want to go. I ain't saying that anybody going to Disney World is a bad thing. I'm just saying I don't care to go there to them places myself. I got my mind on the glory land, and I'm not worried about nothing. I know that one day soon there's going to be a trumpet blow. And whenever
Amen.
That trumpet blows, my feet won't stay on the ground. And it don't matter who's around me. It don't matter who's mad at me. It don't matter who I owe money to. It don't matter who owes me money. When that trumpet blows, I'm going to be out of here.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's what I look forward to. I look forward to it every day. It's the day of the day. Praise God. I wish it was today. It would be great. But at the same time, I think about the cotton field that I was in one time praying to God, about 20 acres. And I was out in the middle of it, and I was just shouting to God. And the Lord spoke to me. I was wanting to come, and I was saying, come now, Lord, come now. And he said, look at this cotton. And I looked at the cotton, and I said, yes, Lord, the cotton is ready to harvest. And he said, look at it again. So I began to walk through the cotton, and I noticed that underneath the top of the cotton was thousands and thousands of green bulbs that had not opened up yet and had became, you know, white. They were still green.
Yeah.
They were still budding up underneath. What I looked, and it looked like it was ready to harvest. But whenever I took another look and looked under that harvest, I seen two or three more harvests under that harvest that was not ready yet. So that's what we are in the situation with right now, is we look in the world, looks like it's ready to harvest, but we have countries like India where there's only 6% or 3% are Christians, and there's 1.6 billion people there, and only 6% are Christians, or 3%. I believe it's moved up a little bit now. I believe it's more along the line of 10% that are Christians now in India, but 10% of 1.6 billion people is not very many people. So we've got
Amen.
A lot of work to do just in India, and then there's China. There's many of these other countries, especially the Asian countries, the Arabia. They don't have the gospel being preached there. They even block it from the satellites. So the people are having to use special satellite dishes to get the gospel in over there. But it is going. The gospel is being beamed down to the whole world by satellites and by radio.
Yes.
The whole world. And Jesus said,
right.
After the whole world had the gospel preached to him, he would come. So we are in the present time. The gospel is being preached right now to every square inch of earth. It's just a matter of people being able to receive the technology, the equipment to pick up the airwaves and the signals. Once they get that, everybody will hear it.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I've got a verse here I'd like to read. Matthew 9:37 says, then saith he unto his disciples, the heaven's harvest is truly, but the let me start over on that. Then said he unto his disciples, the heaven or the harvest truly is plenished, but the labor are few. You know, this is what we're trying to do, is reach the world for Christ. This is what we're trying to tell everybody, you know, the laborers are few out there in the harvest. And, you know, we need to get busy about our Father's business, telling the good news about the Lord, telling them, you know, just like Brother John read up there a while ago in John 9 and 4, I must work the work of him that sent me. Why, it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. You know, the darkness is soon going to come upon this land, and there won't be nobody be able to work then. But praise God, if we will work what it is day, we'll tell them that Jesus is still reaching out to them, that Jesus is still calling them to repentance. They can be saved. I tell you what, it's a time that people needs to reach out and get a hold of the garment and call upon his name, just like that blind man was blind there from his mother's womb. Praise God, he hadn't sinned. The parents hadn't sinned. That was that God would be glorified through him, that the people would see him and they'd wonder. They would ask whose sin had he or his parents. But he said, go and tell them. You know, the parents said, go and ask him. He can tell you. He's of age. And my friend, today, Jesus is still sending that same message out to this world. I'll tell you what, except they reach out there and get a hold of him, they'll not make heaven their home. Let's look here in verse 38. It says, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. You know, that's what we need to be doing. We need to be praying, God, just send more laborers out into the harvest, that people will hear and that people will repent, that people will be saved. You know, it's a time that we need to send them out there. And we look in Mark 13 and 34. It says, for the Son of Man is as a man taken a few for journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servant and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. You know, praise God, God is still giving that commandment for us to watch. And you know, in 1 Corinthians 3 and 9, it says, for we are laborers together with God, yea, ye are God's husbands, ye are God's building. You know, I tell you what, it's time that we realize what God is doing and what God is wanting us to do. We need to go, you know, that's the reason why that I call all of my broadcasters reaching the world for Christ. God placed that on my heart several years ago, and I tell you, that's all I want to do. I want to tell them of the good news. I want to tell the whole world that they must repent. Jesus told Nicodemus, he said, you must be born again of the water and of the Spirit. And I tell you what, that's what we need to be doing today, telling the world that they must repent. if they want to make heaven their home. If they don't, then they'd be a burning throughout eternity in a lake of fire. My friend, I tell you, it's not God's will that anybody should perish. It's not God's will that anybody should go and burn. But it's His will that we be saved. And He's still calling. He's still reaching out to us and calling us to call this world into repentance. That's why that we are on this internet service every Tuesday night is to tell somebody that they must be saved. And we're reaching other countries, a bunch of countries, a bunch of homes. And we thank God for them. We thank God because we know that God is still saving. This word is going out, and people are repenting all over the world because he said his word wouldn't return void, but it will accomplish what it's sent forth to do. And I thank God for that. And I tell you, we've got about 2 minutes left here, and I want to pray for the families. And I want to pray for Carolyn Proctor's family. Sister Carolyn passed away this week, which is Brother Green, Clint Green's sister. And we need to just lift him up before God and pray for them and pray that the Lord will give them the comfort and the peace that they need over the next few years or few days until they get comfort over it. And we've got others that needs prayer. I can't think of all of them, but we've got about 1 minute left. So we want to remember Sister Holmes up in up in Ohio. She's in the rehab center from having a stroke, and we need to pray for her and just pray that God heal her and make her whole. We've got 90 seconds left, so let's just go to the Lord in prayer and pray for all the needs. Our Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, as we come before you once again, God, we thank you, Lord, for your word that went forth here this evening, God. We thank you, Lord, for each and every one that called in. And God, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for touching and healing. And God, we thank you, Lord, for saving the lost souls. And Father, we thank you, Lord, for touching this world, God. Lord, we give you the praise and the glory and the honor, Father, for it all, God, in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord. We praise you, God, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah. Brother John?
Yeah.
Go ahead and tell us about your church, sir.
Well, we're in Thompson, Georgia, about 7 miles south of Atlanta. Our services are on Sunday morning at 10, the church service at 11, Sunday night service at 6 o'clock, and Wednesday night service at 7 o'clock. We're right downtown Thompson, Georgia, and if you get in the area, you're more than welcome to come in and be with us. We lift up in the name of Jesus. We just want to welcome you. Amen.
Amen. Brother Bobby, come in there and tell us about our church.
Oh, we've been praying for a good increase. God's been giving us an increase, and that's a miracle. Amen. He's been sending people there to help us, and we need all the help we can get. We never get where we don't need anybody, and I thank God for that. And we're up on Monroe Street in Sweetwater, Tennessee, right up from the Baptist Church. And on the right, we start service 10 o'clock, have preaching 11, 6 o'clock Sunday night. I preach it in, and the name of the church is Sweetwater Church of God. We preach the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, and thank God for that. We got some good, godly people going there that are pray and believe, and the Lord's just blessing us in a mighty way, and I'm excited about it because what he's going to do next. Amen. God bless you.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay, our time has done come up and gone, so we appreciate all the callers in and call in again, and we love you, and God bless you, and we'll talk to you next week.
God bless you, brother.
God bless you.